With encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, this is Abounding Grace. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, our chance to get together for a few minutes each and every day that we might be encouraged in Christ. Now, won't you take a moment and join us? We're brought to you in part through the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Here now is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're taking up again our study of Christ's dialogue and encounter with the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. Beginning at verse 17, and there you'll know yesterday we addressed the issue of this rich young ruler falling before our Lord, but of course having a very wrong view of Christ, and Christ first addressing that, really setting before us the great holiness of God, that we must understand that for us to be saved, it will take God incarnate to do it, meaning God himself taking on our flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, becoming one of us, the eternal Son who always was, assuming our flesh and coming in the likeness of a man. And the rich young ruler had no idea of his need, no idea of who Jesus was, how great the need was for his sin, to be saved from his sin. And so what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus, of course, the second thing we noticed yesterday, takes him to the law. And we outlined this. Many, of course, would feel today that the Ten Commandments given on Sinai by Moses are outdated. They have no place. But that law simply summarizes God's will that is dispersed throughout the Bible. All of it that is summarized in those Ten Commandments. Every other commandment and instruction given in the Bible is a play and belongs properly to one of those Ten Commandments. And so the law is set before the rich young ruler. And the reason was clear. Paul said, I would not have known sin without the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, thou shalt not covet. And so the law properly used is to put one on their knees before God. They caused the publican to beat his chest and to cry out to the Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, because when he was held up his life in front of God's law, the conscience wore him down to the point of tears that he might look for deliverance in Jesus. The law caused Peter to weep bitterly after he had denied his Lord three times, when he realized he did not love him the way that he said he loved him, to the point that he said, I would never deny you. And he did. The law caused the Apostle Paul to cry out, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Meaning the law had so exposed his heart that he saw he needed someone to deliver him, but because he couldn't do it. He was wretched, blind, cold, and naked. The law demonstrates our failure before God to do what he commands. It says, you shall not, and yet we do. It throws us on our knees before the living God to cry out to him for mercy because it looks inward at our performance and declares guilty. That's the point. How do you come to know your sin and misery? The law of God tells me. That's its purpose. Said yesterday, C.F.W. Walther once said, God comes with the hammer of the law and smites our souls. It's been commonly said, of course, that the way to heaven leads through hell. When one is terrified by the wrath of God and the reality of hell for breaking of God's holy law, he is fully prepared to receive the gospel. And there are some today who want to downplay law. They want to downplay sin. Joel Osteen's newest book, You're Not Only Your Best Life Now, But Your Best You Now, is a total repudiation of these truths. We don't need that, they say. That's offensive. That's downgrading. That doesn't build up in those sort of goofy statements. Only love. Jesus began his entire ministry, my friends, with the words, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent was his first word. Does that tear down? Repentance is mandatory for everyone, and true repentance comes when people realize they have offended a holy God. And that is known through his law. If it offends, so be it. Christ showed us that if repentance was needed, then there was sin. And if there was sin, then there was transgression of God's holy law, because that's what sin is. And it's when we realize that we have broken God's law at every point and are unable to keep it that we are prepared rightly to look outside of ourselves for the remedy, the beautiful righteousness that is only found in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is why Christ began with the law with this young man. No one will want salvation without realizing their total depravity. No one will look for a cure, said Jesus, if they don't know anything's wrong. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for those who are sick and know it and need a physician. So the question is then, do you know your sin intimately? Do you know that you need Jesus? I heard a very popular evangelist, radio evangelist of our day, tell his people over the radio, we need to stop using that word sin. Rather, we need to use selfishness and terms like that just aren't so degrading. Well, contrary to that really teaching that repudiates the word of God, Christ took this person to the heart of the problem, his sin, that he might see his need for Christ, for the Savior. That's why it is the terrible fallacy to tell the most unrepentant and the most vile person, a person that hates God, the person that despises his law, that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life. I mean, that's just common lingo today in the Christian world. You see, think about the person who hears that. On their end, what are they hearing? They're hearing God would never punish their wickedness. That they can remain just as they are, and so they'll play the hymn, just as I am, and sinners will go forward just as they are, and they remain just as they are. For what hope is it if they will be punished eternally in hell for current rebellion if they remain outside of Jesus? Why do we want to downplay that when the costs are so great and the consequences? You've heard me say before, a man went out on the beach evangelizing. He went up to somebody and said, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Give me one reason you won't accept Jesus right now. Well, that man looked up to him and said, that's wonderful, Jesus loves me. That's wonderful, he has a wonderful plan for my life. But I have six reasons I don't need to accept him. And he holds up his six-pack of beer. He had no reason to believe. He was left with the impression God is very happy with him just where he is. You know, if we look at Jesus' message, it was so utterly different than what we hear today. His message was, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's not a wonderful plan for people's lives. Unless people repent, the book of Hebrews says, there is a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Jesus turned to the multitudes and said, unless one hates his father, mother, brother, sisters, and so on and so on, he cannot be my disciple. Who can do that? The law was exposing our inability. What Jesus is doing here with the rich young ruler, and this is so important, he's expressing the ultimate evangelistic love. Oh, that we would take notice. He takes him to the law that the young man might fall on his knees. Really not so much his knees, he was already on his knees, might fall in his heart, face down, and look outside of himself to the one who's perfectly kept the law. That's what we call it, the active obedience of Christ. We need not only his death, not only his passive obedience, but his active obedience. Scripture tells us no one is justified by the law in the sight of God because the just shall live by faith. For Paul says the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. The law is to be used in this fashion. James tells us he who turns a sinner from his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Friends, that's true love, confronting sin. But giving somebody a false hope as they continue in their rebellion comes at a high cost. So high that that blood will be on your hands if you don't confront the sinner, says the Lord. Ezekiel 33 and 37. A sinner will only turn from his way when he realizes he's broken the law of God, he sinned against his holy character, and that the threat of hell is real. Of course, people today don't believe that because they can't imagine a God who will actually send anyone to hell. But we don't want to see people end up there. And so we set before them the holy standard of God to show them their sin. And it's when we realize who God is, how far we've fallen from his glory, that we will desire salvation on his terms. And so Jesus looks right into the heart and he takes him to the heart of the problem. And yet this young man responds, teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. How heartbreaking. With the law set before him, he boldly says, I'm blameless. What do you see? Someone dead in their trespasses and sins. The law was dead to him. It could not stir his heart. He imagined himself as righteous. Oh, we can't realize and plumb the depths of our sin. If we could see how offensive sin is in God's eyes, how quickly we would fall into silent submission. The extent to which we see our sin and misery is the extent to which we will marvel at the work of Christ. Have you? See, this young man was a walking corpse. And how often do we as Christians look at someone's life and say, can't this person see how they're living? Young people, can't you see how you're living? I mean, right in front of Christ, he had the audacity to tell him he was blameless. He had a false hope of salvation. But Jesus, in verse 21, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is saying, count the cost of what it means to follow. Who would dare to take the name of Christ without counting what it means to be a Christian? You see, today, this is what this all exposes. The law confronts our sin, and it shows us the darkness of our hearts that we might look to Jesus. Oh, that we would look to Jesus. Look to Christ today if you don't believe. He will free you from bondage to your sin and give you a life of peace through his shed blood. May Jesus Christ be our righteousness, our only hope in life and in death. Join us for worship this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed, Christ is proclaimed, the only hope for lost sinners in this dark world. Would you like to know more about him? We promise to preach him to you in season and out of season, and we promise not to entertain you and tickle your ears. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., lindenurc.com is the website. Thanks for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.